gospel. Right in Romans chapter 8, and beginning at verse number 1 today, and the title of it is No Condemnation. If two things are followed, if two things are not followed by genuine Christians, there's condemnation for these things if it's not followed. Let's begin by reading Romans 8, and verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now notice there are two things that people can escape condemnation. The first is being in Christ, realizing that sinners, lost, hell-bound, preaching the Lord Jesus died for their sins, trusting Him as their Savior. If that's the case, there is no condemnation, no sending people to hell. But there's a second thing in this verse that causes condemnation for even those that are genuine Christians. Notice they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking after the flesh. When any Christian walks after the flesh, that walk is condemned by God. So it's not a question that I want the Christians pure. No. By not following the Spirit of God and the Word of God, walking after the flesh, there's condemnation and judgment. It must be confessed. It's sin on the part of Christians. Got to remember that indeed. Let's read verse number 2. We're in Romans chapter 8. Read to verse 8, chapter 8, verse number 2 together. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So the law of Christ in Christ. If we're in Christ, we're free. There's a freedom from future lining up in the state of hell, in the place of hell. Now there's a freedom there, and we're free. Like it says in John 8, in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's freedom from hell and freedom from wickedness and sin. And then in John 8, in verse 36, if the Son, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free, not sent to the lake of fire, and not being judged for hell itself. Then in Galatians 5, in verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. The Holy Spirit has made us free in Christ. Free in Christ Jesus the Lord. So there's great freedom. It's a wonderful thing. And we said Galatians 5. No. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. So the freedom in Christ should make us not ever having to go back to works or wicked sins or living after the flesh, indeed. Then in Romans, let's see, I think it's 8. Yes, Romans 8 and verse 3. Let's read that one together.
What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Now notice here, the Lord Jesus was sent from heaven above because the sin of the whole world was at stake. Weak through the flesh. And notice, He sent His Son not in the sameness of flesh, but the likeness of flesh. Notice that difference. Likeness, homoi. But, yes, sameness, and just exactly the same, homo. It's not the same, homo, which is same, but homoi. Homoi. Likeness. Because He was not a sinner, but He was in the likeness. He had perfect human body, not the sinful body like the flesh of us, indeed. It's very important to see the homo versus homoi scripture. He was perfect man and perfect God. He wasn't like the sinful people are in this earth. Let's read Romans 8 and verse 4 together. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The righteousness of the law of Moses, walking by the Spirit of God, is fulfilled. Now notice some of the verses on righteousness. For instance, in Genesis 15, verse 6, talking about Abraham. And he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, that is God, counted it to him for righteousness. By faith, Abraham, that's the way God gives us righteousness, by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ today. And that verse is quoted in Romans 4, verse 3, about Abraham. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Faith counts people to righteousness. Faith in the Lord. And same in Galatians 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Faith, not works, counts us with God for righteousness. And then in Romans 3, verse 22, another verse on how we get righteousness. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. All them that have genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have his righteousness given to them. And then in Romans 4, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, people in this world with all the funny religions and unscriptural religions say you've got to work to get righteousness before God. Absolutely false. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's the way people get to heaven, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not by works or any other thing, by faith. Again, it's repeated in Romans 10, verse 16. For with the heart, that's genuine parts of us, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. You trust the Lord Jesus with your heart and believe to righteousness, and then your mouth can talk about it. Talk about your salvation, talk about faith in Christ. Then another verse on that in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Notice the things God makes unto us if we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. All of these things, by genuine faith in Christ, we have in him. And then another verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him, that is he, God the Father, has made him, God the Son, to be made sin for us, in our behalf, every sinner of the whole world, who he who knew no sin, Christ who knew no sin, or no sinful anything about him, that we, every sinner that trusts Christ as Savior, might be made the righteousness of God in him, in Christ, made righteous before him. Even though we're unrighteous, we may be made unrighteous with him. Let's read Romans 8 and verse 5 together. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So these are the things after the flesh. Those are unsaved people. And those are people that are saved, perhaps, but they're living for the flesh. Is it possible for saved Christians living for the flesh? Yes, it is. And many do. It's a sad thing indeed. But you live for the flesh. They mind the things of the flesh, the things of the flesh. Those that live after the Spirit, the things that should be followed rather than the flesh. Spirit of God living for him and the flesh. Not for the flesh, but the Spirit of God who indwells every believer. Let's read Romans 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's talking to the believers now, the Christian people. And if they are minded as far as the flesh, fleshly minded, carnally, it's a sad situation. It's not life and it's not peace. Spiritually minded, following the Spirit of God, is life and it's peace. A peace is an important thing in God's Word. In Romans 3 and verse 17, for example, and the way of peace have they not known. People that are rejecting Christ as Savior, they have not known God's peace. They may find their own peace, but not God's peace. God's peace, they have not known. In Romans 5 and verse 1, we know this one, let's say it again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way anybody in this world can have peace with God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him as a Savior, and being one of His, one of His children. In Galatians 5 and verse 21, but the fruit of the Spirit, different from the fruit of the lust of the flesh, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. A number of things, the love of the Holy Spirit, and the peace is one of the things, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, peace with God. And people in this world that are lost and unsaved and not Christian, they don't know really what peace is. They're troubled, and we have to pray for them and encourage them to trust the Savior who can give them peace that best with understanding. And then in Romans 8 and verse 7, let's read that together. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, who is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The enmity, there's so many things about enmity, but God is an enemy of our carnal mind. If it's just a carnal mind, it's an enmity against God. It can't be subject to the law of God in any way. In Genesis 3, verse 15, another word of use of enmity, God says, I will put enmity between thee, that is Satan, the Garden of Eden. I'll put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, Eve, and between the seed, thy seed, and her seed. Now, he was in the form of a serpent or a snake, but he was the old Satan, the devil himself. It says, I shall bruise thy head. That's the most important part of our body. And Satan one day will be bruised, and he was bruised at the cross of Calvary. And it says, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, Satan did bruise the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways, but that's not the same as completely knocking out the brains and the head, which God did with Satan in condemning him. And in James chapter 4 and verse 4, God says, ye adulterers, James says, and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, hatred toward God. Enmity, but hatred toward God. And whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now that's an important thing. Even genuine Christians, some of them are friends of this wicked world. And if that's the case, at that point when you're friends of the world, you're an enemy of God who saved you. You're walking not after the Spirit, but after the flesh indeed. Let's read verse number 8, Romans 8 and verse 8. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. They that are in the flesh, those that are not in the Spirit, not saved, unsaved people. But for instance, in Matthew 3 and verse 17, a voice from heaven, this is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ and God being at peace because of his Son, for his Son. And lo, a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father is well pleased with the Son. Then in Matthew 17, verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him. And behold, a voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the well-pleasing Son of the Father. He did everything the Father said to do. He was obedient, and God the Father was well-pleased. Is he well-pleased with us? He would be if we do as he says in his word.
Yes.
And then in John 8, in verse 29, and he hath sent me, and he that sent me is with me. The Lord Jesus is saying that. The Father has not left me alone, I do always those things that please him. Father is with the Son because he obeyed his Father. Then in Galatians 1, verse 16, for do I now persuade men? This is Paul talking to Galatians. Do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Very important. Who do we seek to please? People or God himself? And then in we read verse 9, Romans 8, 9.
Not yet.
Not yet. All right, let's read that. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
It's an important doctrinal statement. If you're not with the Holy Spirit indwelling you, you're lost, you're bound for hell, and you're Satan's child. You're born Satan's child, every one of us. Until we're born again and become God's child, we're still Satan's child. Everyone that's listening to me out on the internet, if you never trusted Christ as your Savior and Redeemer, you're still in Satan's family, not God's family. You must trust the Savior as yours, being a sinner, knowing he died for your sins, accepting him as your Savior and Redeemer. And then you're in the Spirit. And if any man, repeat that again, 8:9, Romans 8:9. If any man, any person, any woman, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell those that trust Christ and are genuine Christians. Let's read Romans 8 and verse 10.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness.
So here is Christ be in you. Now, scriptures are clear that one that accepts Christ as a genuine Christian, believes he died for their sins, the Holy Spirit of God enters their body. There's no question about that. Now this one says, if Christ be in you, the Lord Jesus Christ is also in the genuine Christian. And also other verses, God the Father is also in them as well. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all three, are inside inhabiting those who are genuinely Christians. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, we know this one, let's say it together. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? The Holy Spirit of God enters those that are genuinely saved and never departs. Never departs. No matter what they do. Will they sin or not sin? It's not a question. In Colossians 1:27, for instance, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Father and the Son, the Trinity, are in there, in the body and other people. It's in Scripture now, the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son are helping and entering and abide for the genuine Christian. In Romans 8 and verse 11, let's read that together.
But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you.
The Spirit of God one day will quicken, make alive our bodies. Our bodies are mortal, subject to death. And when we die, that's what happens to us. But if they're Christian bodies that have died, those mortal bodies one day will be transformed into his body, like unto Christ, the glorious body. Mortal, that means, we talked about people who are still in the world, those that are saved, they're mortal, subject to death. If they're corrupt, corruptible as our bodies that are living today, of course they will die. And then at the rapture, the Lord Jesus comes back, those mortal bodies will be converted into immortal, and incorruptible bodies, forever be with the Lord in those bodies. Mm-hmm. This is the future. Let's read Romans 8 and verse 12.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh.
We have our bodies, and if we're healthy, we're healthy. If we're not healthy, we're not healthy. But we're not to serve God only with the body, so with the spirit, if we're genuinely saved, Holy Spirit of God, we serve Him. But we're debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. God never told us once we're Christians to just live like the old life and do what you did before, sin like you did before. No, you're to live for the Lord. Let's read verse number 8:13, Romans 8:13.
For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
Mortify, put to death, and be against the deeds of the body. Now, we have all kinds of members of our body. We have eyes. If our eyes are looking for things that are forbidden and sinful, mortify them, kill them, get away from them. We also have ears. We have two ears. If we're listening to anything that's corruptible of the flesh and against God, mortify that. Get rid of that. Turn it off. Do something with it. So you can't. We all have mouths. If we see mouths or our own mouths or something that's against the Lord, quit that. Mortify these members who are against the things of the Lord. We all have hands. If we're doing things that are against God, mortify that, those members as well. Stop what we're doing with the flesh of things if they're not spiritual and proper. We have a heart. We have a heart. If the heart is thinking of things and doing things that are against the Lord, mortify that one also. And also we have our feet. If we're walking in things that are sinful and wicked, don't put up with that either. Mortify that and knock it off. It's something that's against God, and it's not spiritual to the flesh, and it's sin indeed. And then there are three ways of finding what actions are in our bodies. First way is our actions. If the actions are wicked, stop the actions. Second way of manifesting, our words. Our words are satanic and evil and wrong. Get rid of those. Mortify those as well. Then our thought life. If our thoughts are evil and wicked and corrupt and worldly, mortify those and just take away those thoughts as well. Let's read Romans 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God,
they are the sons of God.
Led by the Spirit. We see that the Lord, the sons of God are supposed to be led, not by their flesh, but by the Holy Spirit of God who indwells them. Let's read verse number 8:15 together.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear,
but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
The spirit of adoption, where God places us in His family. We were originally born in Satan's family, not an adoption of Christ in God's family Himself. For instance, in Romans 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past, he walked according to the course of this world. May it be past, not present, but past. Forsake the course of this world. Make it past. According to the prince of the power of the air, as the old devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Mm-hmm. The evil spirit of God works in the children that are not saved. And they may be looking nice and dressing nice and speaking nice. If they've never been born again, they're Satan's children. Mm-hmm. And it's important to understand that. Now, in Christ, he is by adoption. We are Thessia, being placed as adopted children of the God Himself. Mm-hmm. My mom, in 1980, my mom thought it would be good for her son and her son's wife to go to Israel. They knew that I was studying ministry, going to be a preacher, so she paid our prices to go there, and we went. And we were going up to a mountain, Mount Masad, I guess it is, and to go up there, you have to have one of these chain things that go up the hill. And it's not an escalator or elevator, but it's a device. What is it?
Chairlift.
Oh, trailer.
Tram.
What is it?
Tram.
It's a living thing that pulls up. It's not on wheels. It's something in the air.
Cable car.
Yeah. Going up there with wheels, not with wheels, but with chains that take you way up to that mountain. But anyhow, in the cart, or that whatever it was, my wife was there, I was there, and there's a family, an Israelitish family, and a little baby. And the little baby was constantly crying, Abba, Abba, Abba. Which is like, Mom, Mom, Dad, 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 Dad. And so that's what we can cry for genuine Christians, for the Father. We make us genuine Christians, we can cry Abba, Father. I thought that was interesting. What we saw, what we heard, that's what these little children cry when they're maybe afraid or when they're happy, whatever it might be. They cry with that Hebrew expression, Abba, Abba, Abba. Then let's read chapter 8 and verse 16 again.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Now that word itself seems to indicate maybe the Holy Spirit is not a person. No, in many other verses, he is a person. It says he, different places. And we mentioned that. But nama is a neuter noun. And neuter nouns go with itself instead of himself or herself. And so this is translated according to the scriptures, according to the Greek word itself. But he is a person, and he mentioned many places, other places. In John 15:26, for example, he's he. And John 16, in verse 13, he's he. And so this does not turn the Holy Spirit as a neuter person, but itself is in accord with the Greek word pneuma, which is a neuter word. And that's what it should be, translated accurately. Let's read Romans 8, in verse 17.
And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, it shall be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
There's suffering, being a Christian, as well as glorification. For instance, in 2 Timothy 3, in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's a suffering if you live godly. The world doesn't like godly Christians. They don't like godly people or Christians of any kind, but certainly they don't like godly Christians. And then in Galatians 4, verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, to be Lord of all. But in Romans 8, verse 18, let's read that one together. Now, I reckon
that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
So the sufferings of this present time, Christians have sufferings, and the scriptures are mentioned these as well. Christians in 1 Peter 2, verse 19, for this is thankworthy, the man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Many times Christians are suffering wrongfully. And then the Apostle Paul really knew what Christians were suffering was. In 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28, five or six verses, there are at least 30 different sufferings he mentions. 30. I'll just read a few. Thrice I suffer shipwreck, and night and a day in the deep. In journeyings often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen. All these things, 30 of them, by stripes above measure. Prisons often. 30 different occasions and types of sufferings that Paul endured. And praise the Lord that he was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in all of them. Then in Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, even shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And so there'll be glory when he comes back. He's going to sit on the throne of his glory. In John 1, verse 14, And the Word was made flesh, we don't listen, and dwelt among them. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. We'll have trouble and sufferings, but also we'll be with the Lord Jesus and be with Him in His glory. For instance, in John 17 and verse 5, in 17 and verse 5, it says, "And now, Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." The Father and the Son were glorious in eternity past, and He asked Him in this chapter 17 that He be glorified as well now. This was in His high priestly prayer to the Father before the cross of Calvary, before He was crucified by the wicked people of this earth. In John 17, verse 24, "Father, I will also that they whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou gavest me before the foundation of the world." He had glory in heaven, and at the cross He says, "May the ones who love me and serve me, my own, be glorified as well with my glory." In Acts 7, in verse 55, when they condemned and stoned Stephen to death, the first murder of the weavers that are mentioned in Scripture, Acts 7, 55. "But he," that is Stephen, "as they were stoning him, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing," not sitting, "on the right hand of God." He normally is sitting, but for Stephen the martyr, he stood standing on the right hand of God. Then in 2 Peter 1 and verse 17, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory," the Lord Jesus, "when there came such a voice to him from the exceeding glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" May say that of us, we're genuine Christians, if we're genuine Christians, that he be well pleased with us, serving him, standing for him, and living for him. Let's read Romans 8 and verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." And notice the creature. It's talking about the animals, the goats, and the calves, and the various other things. Right now, they have a different type of a body. But one day, it's going to be different. First in Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. "The wolf will dwell with the lamb." They're not going to do that today. The wolf will eat the lamb. It's going to be a day when the creatures, the wolves, will be changed. "The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf with the young lion." See, these things will be changed. Why? That will be in the millennial reign of Christ. And these are things that are talked about here in this chapter as well. And the same as in Romans 8, 20 to 21. Let's read those as well. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God." And so the creatures, they won't go to heaven, but they'll be delivered in the millennial reign of Christ. Won't have all this killing, the animals killing other animals. God's going to make that change. Praise God for that. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we do thank Thee that Thy Son was absolutely obedient to Thee, even to go to the cross of Calvary. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast given us no condemnation for trusting the Savior as our own. As long as we walk in the Holy Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, if we fulfill the lust of our flesh, we're condemned by Thee. We must confess that before Thee as sin and be restored. We thank Thee for the great liberty that we have in our Savior. That it be in those that are listening to us in this world that has shut down so many churches. If they can listen to the internet and are lost, if they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and realize that they don't know Him, can trust Him and believe on Him and receive that gift of everlasting life. and help us, Lord, who are Christian believers, to love thy word, follow thy word, and never forsake it and defend it. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Let's take our handles again.